Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene's good proof, not only for the grace of Christ for sinners, but also for the prominent place which women played in the life of our Lord, which I suppose is another dimension of our Lord's grace. For in the life of Mary Magdalene, we see Christ, the new Adam, restoring the right relationship between men and women. A little review. Mary Magdalene, whom we honor today and for whom we thank God, plays her most prominent biblical role in the Passion and Resurrection narratives. During our Lord's crucifixion, Mary stood by her man, even when so many of his more prominent followers had fled the scene. After our Lord had breathed his last breath, Mary followed Joseph of Arimathea and the Corpus Christi to the tomb. During our Lord's Sabbath rest within the tomb, it was Mary who held a vigil, faithfully ready to anoint our Lord's body with spices. And then on Easter morn, while it was still dark, it was Mary who went to the tomb to find that Jesus' body was no longer in it. Later, Peter and John came to the tomb, and after the disciples went back home, Mary, ever faithful, remained at the tomb weeping for her Lord, at which time she received a gracious visit from angels. And then our Lord, the new Adam, sprung up from the grave and appeared to Mary, poetically and poignantly, as a gardener. In a scene not outdone by Casablanca, Mary desperately tried to hold on to her Lord, even as he told her that a new day had dawned and a new paradise awaited. After which Mary issued her great witness to disbelieving disciples, "I have seen the Lord." John is commonly known as the beloved disciple, but we might have to say that the true honor belongs to Mary Magdalene. Mary, a woman from whom Christ had driven evil spirits. Mary, a woman who understood forgiveness. A woman who loved much because she herself was loved. A woman who stuck by Jesus in death and burial and was rewarded in the resurrection. As such, a woman whose life was surely baptismal in shape, united to Christ not by earthly marriage, but a woman whose head was Christ nevertheless. For this day, the Feast of Mary Magdalene, two texts are traditionally assigned. One from the 20th chapter of John notes Mary's special place as a witness to the resurrection. The second text, from Luke chapter 7, tells the story of what happened at a certain feast when Jesus had his feet anointed by a certain sinful woman. Most scholars doubt that Mary was that woman who anointed Jesus' feet, but it's not hard to see why Tertullian made the identification. The woman who wet her Lord's feet with tears, who repeatedly kissed those same feet and anointed them with oil, certainly fits the M.O. of the one who wept at our Lord's graveside, who sought to anoint his body in death, and the one who desperately clung to him in the resurrection. But there is a third text I would like to point to, and that's the pericope which immediately follows that of the sinful woman, Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterwards, and he was making his way from city to city and village to village, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and some women who had been healed from evil spirits and illnesses. Mary, the one called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the steward of Herod, and Susanna, and many others who were serving them out of their own possessions. Here we have one of Luke's idyllic portraits. As Acts 2 pictures a Christian community which shares its wealth, here in Luke 8 we see a beautiful depiction of Christ bringing men and women together, working for the sake of the kingdom of God. Throughout his ministry, our Lord was flanked by his 12 chosen apostles, all men. This much Matthew tells us. But Luke would have us know that Jesus does not remain exclusively in the company of men. You might say that he was neither a misogynist nor a sequestered monk. Or you might just say that he had good taste in friends. But you'd have to say that his vision was for the reconciliation of all people. And that reconciliation is not just an abstract truth, but it's an incarnational reality. As Adam needed the help meet for him, so also did the second Adam. And for helpers, Jesus relied on the likes of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many other women. And by inviting the likes of Mary Magdalene into his circle of disciples, we see our Lord restoring the proper relationship between men and women. We see men and women working together for what's good, for God, without strife or ungodly pride. And what does this restored relationship look like? We might note that in a world where women were serving as priestesses, Mary does not try to make herself into an apostle. Unlike the first Eve, she did not claim what was not given to her. And yet, remarkably, the apostolic ministry was dependent upon the likes of her. And what did she do? She, as chief among the many women, served Jesus and the apostles out of her own possessions. This means that Mary most probably helped not only in the fundraising, but also in coordinating the logistics of Jesus' day-to-day life. From all of his years as a carpenter, it's doubtful that Jesus saved up enough money to start and run his own little seminary. One can imagine Mary Magdalene as the leader of the troop, recruiting wealthy patrons like Joanna, the wife of one of Herod's stewards, making sure that the ministry of Jesus could go forward. And we should note, Mary and her group took care of not only Jesus, but of all the pastors-to-be. Now, what are we going to make of all this? I suppose we could say that Jesus' ministry was, of course, inclusive. While only men could serve as apostles, all were invited to be his disciples. The grace of Christ covered all. Women who in Herod's temple were excluded from the court of Israel were not kept away from Jesus, the true temple. Mary Magdalene is a beautiful symbol of the church, forgiven and at one with her Lord. And of course, the example of Mary Magdalene is alive and well today. Many of you have your own Mary Magdalenes. These are the women often to whom you are married, the women by whose long suffering, patience, and financial support make your own attendance at the seminary possible. Mary Magdalenes may also be found in the clothing bank, the fundraising, and indeed just about every aspect of this seminary. And as you enter the holy ministry, there, God willing, you will find other women who show their love for the Lord by supporting your work. You may find at a voters' meeting that the men will talk, but it's the women who actually get things done. And so a final thank you to our Lord for the good women like Mary Magdalene who serve our church, and a prayer for you men that by your own Christ-like ministry you may be worthy of their support. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.